Chapter 32. Las Vegas. Hard Rock. Present day. The casino was rock and roll. The clientele was hip, L.A. The music coursing from the hidden amplifiers in the ceiling throbbed loud enough to crack glass. The air was crisp enough to burn my eyes. I entered the circular casino like Kevin Lewis had taught me. Bold, arrogant, leering at the gorgeous blonde waitresses in their tight black shorts and dark stockings, walking in long strides as if my cock ran halfway down my leg. My hair was slicked back, my silk shirt open, two buttons at my neck. My jacket flowed around me like a cape, black and Armani, and way too expensive to be anything but borrowed. I paused at the head of the blackjack pit. The Hard Rock was a relatively small casino, a circle of gaming tables surrounding the trendiest bar in town. Here was all about the scene. Gorgeous models and actresses from L.A. in for the weekend with their producer boyfriends. A-list celebrities partying with sports stars and assorted high rollers. The decor fit the scene. Wood tones and plush velvet. Everything loud and young and in your face. From the custom Harley-Davidson motorcycle in the lobby to the Playboy-style grotto pool outside. Strewn about the casino and the hotel was one of the most expansive rock memorabilia collections under one roof. But people didn't come to the Hard Rock to see what the rock stars wore. They came to see the rock stars themselves, or, more accurately, to try and be the rock stars, if only for the night. I hadn't come to the Hard Rock to be a rock star. I was living out a different fantasy. I started my stroll around the blackjack pit, feeling the chips bouncing in my pockets. I wasn't sure how much I had on me, just that Kevin had assured me it was enough to fit the part. I made two sweeps of the casino before I caught sight of my partner in crime. Baseball cap pulled down tight over his forehead, thick round glasses resting on his nose, a trace of stubble on his jaw. Hunched over at the third base position of a table at the edge of the pit, he didn't look at all like the geeky kid in the MIT sweatshirt I had met at the airport, or the polished young man who had bought me dinner at Nobu when we first arrived at the hotel. He looked like a guy who was burning his paycheck at the card table because he had nothing better to do. Although he didn't turn his head, he seemed to know I was there. He lifted his elbows off the table, crossing his arms. I tensed up, then reminded myself who I was supposed to be. Guys in $3,000 jackets don't get nervous. I slipped into the table and pulled a handful of chips out of my pocket. As I was trying to figure out what to bet, Kevin looked up at the dealer. "So I hear they got a webcam set up in the pool. Is that true?" The dealer nodded. He had no idea Kevin had just passed me the count. Pool, a positive eight. I picked out a single purple chip and put it in the betting circle. If it had been my money, I would have choked at the sight of my first card, an ugly six. But tonight, I was an extension of Kevin's bankroll. I was his gorilla. I wasn't going to think or panic or even breathe on my own. I was just going to watch for Kevin's signals. Over the next hour, he moved my bet up and down with flicks of his hands, shifts of his arms, comments to the dealer, the passing cocktail waitresses, even the other players. He never once looked at me, and he never seemed to focus on the cards. Pretty soon I was up $5,000, and my body was so jacked up on adrenaline I could barely stay planted on my stool. I was in the groove, playing the cards like a pro. From my research, I knew enough basic strategy to take advantage of Kevin's cues. I was beginning to feel invincible when I happened to glance past the dealer's right shoulder. There were two men in suits standing a few feet away, watching me play. Both of the men had name tags, and one was talking to a cellular phone. Kevin must have seen them as well, because he suddenly rose from the table. "That's it for me," he said, coloring up his chips. As the dealer traded his blacks for purples, Kevin lifted his hat and ran his fingers through his hair. "I think I'll check out this pool everyone's talking about." He shuffled away from the table, hands deep in his pockets. I counted 60 seconds, the longest minute of my life, and got up to follow him. The two men in suits watched me all the way across the gambling floor. I didn't start breathing again until I was outside. Gasps of hot Vegas air billowing against my face.